Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. I want to speak to you tonight. Do you have a hunger to have revival? Do you have a hunger to have revival? Folks, we live in a world of people who hope for what is already promised. They seek for things we have already obtained, and they ask for the Holy Ghost. And it is only given, hear me, the Holy Ghost is only given to them that obey. All right? In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Lord, we love you and ask you right now, God, to speak and move in this house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for how you've touched and moved. Lord, I just believe, God, that you're not done. And God, you want to speak to some hearts here tonight. I pray your will in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. You can be seated. Some people will tell you they have the Holy Ghost. But I ask, does your fruit bear witness? When people see you, do they think you're a Christian or a devil? Come on. You know, there's some people, you ever go in the workplace and hear someone say they're a Christian, you're like, oh, don't tell people that. Right? Does your life tell the story of being with Jesus? Amen? You see, a lot of people are associated with the church, but are not a part of the church. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 9 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit, listen to this, this is important. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's powerful. Amen. Everyone wants to go to heaven, and everybody claims they love Jesus, but Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, that's where people draw the line. I love Jesus, but I should be able to live however I want. See, there was a man that asked Jesus this question in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then he asked this question, who is my neighbor? Come on, really? To make a long story short, folks, he told him the story of a man that was robbed and left for dead, and how this one and that one came along but crossed the road. And so as he, not to be involved with the unfortunate man, then a Samaritan, a sinner, came by and poured oil into the wound and sat him upon his beast and took him to the inn and cared for him at his own expense. I ask you, would you do that? Then in Luke 18, certain man asked God, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He replied, I have done this all of my life. What else? And Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor, take up the cross, and follow me. You see, let me explain something to you tonight, folks. Here's a revelation. If you're not willing to give it all, you're not worthy to be a disciple. Come on. If you're not willing to give everything, you're not worthy to be a disciple. Because in the book of Genesis, we know that God made man in his own image, right? But listen to this. There's more to it than that. The Bible said he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and out of his side he took a woman. And there's more to it than that, folks. This first Adam, the Bible says he was earthly in 1 Corinthians 15:45-47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that this was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Now listen, the first man, Adam, was created by God from the dirt. The second man was conceived of the Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. The second Adam was conceived of the Spirit. The first Adam was natural. The second Adam is spiritual. Now understand this. Eve from the garden represents the church on the earth. Eve was taken from Adam's side, and the church was taken from the side of the Lord. And from his side, the Bible says, came forth water and blood. And we know, according to Jesus, folks, we must be born again. What? Of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, that's why people struggle with living holy. They have not yet been born of the Spirit. In Isaiah 52, verse 14, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. What is he saying here? There is nothing, folks. I said there's nothing beautiful about him. Come on. There was no physical attraction, because he came not to draw attention to himself, but to God. Listen, folks, idols, people worship idols, don't they? They have to be decked out with silver and gold. You know why? Because it has to attract attention to itself. And what it does, it attracts its attention to itself, and it distracts you, your attention, from God. What is your idol? It could be all kinds of things. It could be your bank account. It could be your job. It could be your car. Okay? An idol is there to distract you from the things of God. Amen? An idol is not a living God. It is dead and can do nothing for you but capture your attention. Amen. Satan knows that if he can get people's eyes off of God, folks, and on man, there can never be great revival. Never. Amen. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan, the Holy Ghost came, and we hear the Father's voice speak of his Son, because Jesus was the first to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. Israel went from a tent to a tabernacle, from earthly to heavenly, and you see the sacrifice of Christ. To be born again, you have to become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you do not, folks, you are not born again, because you cannot be spiritual and worldly at the same time. Your mind has to be transformed. So what might you prove? What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You can't do that unless your mind has been transformed. The Bible says we need to become a living sacrifice. How can you? By renewing your mind. And that is to be born of the water and Spirit. Remember, there was only 3 out of the 12 that saw Jesus' transfiguration. Moses asked God to let him see his glory in the Old Testament. You remember that? He wanted to see it. And all he could see, God put him in the cliff and hit him. All he could see was the hinder parts of God. But when Jesus came, and he was transfigured on the mount, You know what? Moses got to see and what he asked for thousands of years ago. Moses saw his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, folks. The natural could not see the supernatural. Now, if you're still struggling with holiness, you know why? That is because you cannot be identified with him. Because holy means separate. And until you are willing to separate, you will never be a part of his glory. You know why? You can't serve two masters. Amen? If you're struggling with temporal things, earthly things, what you can see and what you can feel and what you have right now, folks, you know what the Bible says? Demas forsook Paul for having loved this present world. He was popular in the world, but being a part of Jesus' followers, that's not popular. The name Demas, you know what it means? Popular. Popular. You want to be popular? You can't be a part of Jesus. The Bible said we'll be hated for our what? The namesake. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not, no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. A lot of people are living in the flesh and not in the spirit, and they know that the moment they get close enough to God, they will hear his commands come to them. That's why. They don't want to live in the spirit. Amen. They don't want to hear the commands of God. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Come out from among them and be ye separate. We can't entertain the world and serve a holy God. Come on. You are not dead in your sins if you are living in your sins. Folks, the weight of your glory in the future life may be determined by the weight of the sacrifice now in your present life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Folks, you got to understand. Listen to me. Here, listen, everybody, listen to me right now. Understand this tonight. Satan did not want Job's cattle. He didn't want his bank account. He didn't want any of that stuff. He didn't want his worldly possessions. You know what Satan wanted? He wanted Job's worship. Satan doesn't care about your worldly things. He doesn't care what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care what kind of house you live in. He doesn't care what kind of fancy clothes you wear. He doesn't care about any of it. He gives you that as a distraction. He wants you to pursue those things. Satan wants your worship. Satan wanted Job to curse God and die. And if Satan could capture Job's worship, he had him defeated. Satan doesn't want your house. He doesn't want your car. He doesn't want your money. He wants your dignity. Satan wants you to obey him. He wants you to disobey God. Satan wants to steal your worship. Folks, Satan, he'll let you worship right along. You can come here. You're not devoted to God, but you'll come here and you can play the part. And he'll let you do it. But he won't let you feel conviction. He wants you to keep your stinking attitude. He wants you to keep your anger. He wants you to keep your unforgiveness. Because he doesn't want you to feel conviction. I talked this morning about a seared conscience. I'm telling you folks, don't ever let Satan steal your conscience. You play with sin long enough, you're searing your conscience. He'll let you come to church and sit on a pew all you want. but don't worship sincerely from the heart. He doesn't want you to worship God. He wants you to worship Him. And if you come here with a stinking attitude, and you come here with unforgiveness, you're worshiping the devil. He's got your worship. You can dislike the pastor. You can dislike the people in the church. You can sit there like a lump on the log all you want. You are not worshiping God. I'm telling you, He doesn't want you to feel the conviction. And you get to a place with a seared conscience, you better be on your knees praying to God. If you can't get your convictions and stop living for God, that's what Satan wants. He wants to get your convictions. And he doesn't want you to live for God. And then, when he does that, your worship is not unto Jesus, but it is to him. Matthew 15:7-9. Ye hypocrites, well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Listen to this. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Play the part all you want. This scripture says you're hypocrites. Your hearts are far from me. Jesus came, why? To seek and to save that which was lost in Luke 19. Satan came in John 10 to kill and to destroy. Amen? You cannot be defeated as long as you have true worship. Listen, we need to stop some of the boo-hoo and crying. What you need to do is say, stop all this. Oh, pray for me, pray for me. Yeah, we'll pray for you, you need it. But how about you trying to worship truly unto God and get over top of this? Don't ask everybody else to pray for you if you're not going to try to do things yourself. How about coming to church and truly worshiping God? Let me tell you something. You know when true worship comes? When you truly understand how God is. When you truly honor God. When you truly know who He is. That's when true worship comes. But let me tell you something. You can go to God like a welfare handout all you want. Say, God, give me this, give me this. You don't truly know Him. He's not the Salvation Army. I talked about this morning. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But folks, if you want that, He expects things from you. Parents, you ever ground your kids? They don't deserve anything during that time. God says, hey, you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. God don't want to raise spoiled brats. Amen? You cannot be defeated as long as you have true worship. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh, and now is, what? When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is looking for true worshipers, folks. Well, listen, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I read to you earlier, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. Now listen, the devil doesn't know anything about truth. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. Jesus told the religious people of his day in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's what that scripture is saying. He said, look, the devil's a liar. He don't have any truth. He's a murderer from the beginning. And then Jesus is saying, if you say, I know him, if you say, I know you, God, and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. And there's no truth. When Satan gets your worship, you will die. Tim Copeland was preaching. He said this. Church is not a funeral home. It takes six men to carry out the dead. And we're not training. We're not trying to train pallbearers. Listen, I'm not here to preach a funeral. But I'm here to preach a resurrection. Come on. I want a resurrection. I want to see revival. How about it, Saints of God at Church of Pentecost? How about let's get him revived and see revival? Come on. Now let me tell you what revival means. Revival means to resurrect that which is dead. When I pray, and I'm praying for souls to be saved, I quit saying, God, give me revival. When I say revival, I'm praying for you. When I say, God, I want to see a mighty move of your spirit. Because that's what's going to change people's lives, folks. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to walk in here, and we shouldn't have to do it service after service, say, God, revive me. Come on, folks. You say you want to see a great move of God? See, I can't even hardly call it revival. Why not walk in the doors and say, what can I do? How can I participate? Come on. So revival means to resurrect the dead. Are we walking zombies in church? Come on. You want the desires of his heart? Serve him. Obey him. Live for him every day. Listen, if you can't be resurrected, we might as well bury you and put on your tombstone. Here lays a person that refused to be raised from the dead. If you cannot keep from sinning, and you cannot keep your body under subjection to God, we'll just put you in the ground. Come on. Folks, God gave us everything we need to live for him. Come on, you can read it in the scriptures as well as I. You've heard me preach it enough. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. How about that? You want to live, you want to be revived every day? Die to this flesh. Get up in the morning and say, listen here, flesh, you're not getting your way today. Flesh says, I want this. No, let me smack your hand. Come on, you want to live in revival? You want to be lifted up every day? Then get up and say, flesh, you're dying. Come on, are you going to live in the flesh? Or are you going to live in the spirit? Are you going to be his? Because without the Spirit, you're none of his. Let me warn you. I should have warned you at the beginning, I guess. But let me warn you. When you start questioning God's holiness, you ready for this? You will backslide. Don't ask somebody that is dressing worldly like you desire to dress, don't ask them for advice. You need to find the holiest looking man or woman in the church and ask them that question. Young men, young ladies, you ask the holiest man and holiest woman in the church for advice. You ask the one that is obedient to the pastor. And if he or she is obedient to the pastor, when you come and ask them the question, they'll tell you to go to pastor. Folks, when you stop chasing the enemy and you start destroying him with your worship, You know what? He will start chasing you and he will try to kill your joy. And if he gets your joy, he will have your victory. Oh, must not like that in the way he's really shouting here. Come on, folks. I'll just preach it again. I said, when you stop chasing the enemy and start destroying him with your worship, and he will start chasing you, and he will try to kill your joy, and if he gets your joy, he will have your victory. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus beats all the odds. All of them. Amen? He was beaten beyond recognition, but still strong enough to bear the cross. And the problem with some people, the problem with some apostolics, the problem with some Christians, is they want the victory with no cross. You're not going to have victory without a cross. In the cross, if the cross gets to be more than they want, sometimes in the church, we're serving God, and I say it's easy to serve God when things are going good. But you let God lay the cross, and they, oh, I don't want anything to do with it. They lay it down. I didn't ask for the cross. I want prosperity preaching. I want all the flowery stuff, but don't give me a cross. What do you think Paul said? I die daily. I stand. We cannot pamper ourselves and think we're going to be great Christians. Amen? Listen, folks, we cannot pamper ourselves and think we're going to skate into heaven on a victory lap. Come on. If you want to live victorious, then God needs to know that whatever comes your way, you're going to serve Him no matter what. Any of us here, we want a relationship with somebody. We want people that are going to stick with us in the good and the bad. God wants the same. God wants a people that are going to stand with Him in the good times. But you're going to stand with Him in the bad. I want to know, is there anybody here that wants to see a great move of God? Come on, folks. And this altar's open for you tonight. Say, God, I'll take the cross with the good. Come on. I'll take the cross and the good. Because I just want to be in Your presence. Come on, folks, this altar's open. Everybody, every Christian ought to be up here at this altar right now saying, God, help me to live for You.